So our next presenter is Uwe Stoltz. He got his master's in public health in epidemiology, as well as a PhD in molecular biology. He's currently a research specialist at the University of Arizona in the Arizona Emergency Medicine Research Center.
Thank you for showing up to the last session on a very beautiful day. So I'm going to talk to you about work. This work that I did was part of my internship when I was completing my MPH, and I did it in collaboration with Kenneth Rosenberg, who's here today, over at the Oregon Department of Human Services. So thanks to the whole Oregon Department of Human Services for offering me that internship. It's a great experience. I have no financial disclosures. All right, so as we all know, the postpartum period is a time of pretty dramatic physical and psychological changes, and it really presents a unique opportunity for public health and health interventions. Issues such as weight retention, gain loss, breastfeeding, smoking cessation, and you know many more than I've listed here are great times to intervene because these women all of a sudden can interact with the medical system, whereas they may not have before. In addition, you have an increased risk of depression and anxiety that come from sort of economic factors, as well as clinical depression manifested during the postpartum period. And in terms of health issues during the postpartum period, postpartum depression is really the most common birth-related complication for women. It's approximately 13%, give or take a couple percent. And it has health effects on both the mother and the offspring, and these effects can be long-term, not just during the postpartum period. In addition, another issue for women during the postpartum period is overweight and obese women that tend to gain more gestational weight and are more likely to gain and retain weight postpartum. And then the excess postpartum weight gain and retention really increases the risk of future health complications for the mother, offspring, and for future pregnancies. So what do these two things have in common? Well, we decided to examine levels of physical activity in women during the postpartum period. And the reason is severalfold. It's been shown that physical activity is just beneficial overall for all populations. If you have moderate to high levels of physical activity, there are many psychological and physical health benefits. So, but specifically in postpartum women, it's been shown to reduce weight gain and retention and improves general maternal well-being. It can also reduce depression symptoms, specifically in at-risk women. Also improves the health of mothers and their offspring, long-term for up to 3-year follow-up. Also improves aerobic fitness and some physiological health of the mother. And reduced physical activity during the postpartum period, which you know you might expect given the fact that they've just had a baby and there's a lot of pressures, is associated with increased weight retention. So there's many reasons to look at the levels of physical activity and try to improve those in women. And so we use the Oregon Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System. So it's just a state PRAMS, Oregon PRAMS, and previous speakers set the PRAMS up very nicely. It's a population-based survey of women who gave birth in a state for a given year. And what's really nice is it's really a linked survey. So women that have given birth in a state that produce a birth certificate all become part of the target population. Out of these, we take random samples stratified based on race and ethnicity. And then they're sent surveys. They fill in the surveys. And then their survey data is linked to population birth certificate, to state birth certificate data, so you have a much richer data set than just from the survey. And you can make estimates about the entire population of women in the state. So that's what's a very powerful survey. And for example, it's the PRAMS is used a lot to address issues of emerging health issues in the field of maternal and child health. And the reason is that you can have a turnaround of 1 to 2 years on your data set, and you can see sort of trends happening. And so an example here is in 2005, find that there's actually a lot of women who are overweight, obese, pre-pregnancy. So that's an important issue. So our study goal, my study goals, really were to assess the levels of postpartum physical activity for Oregon women using the 2005 PRAMS to get an estimate what is the prevalence of physical activity levels. And it's also to test a specific hypothesis that postpartum depression is a significant risk factor for not getting enough physical activity. So having postpartum depression predisposes you to not getting enough physical activity for reasons that are fairly obvious, but we'll go into. Also, I want to identify other risk factors that might contribute to not getting sufficient physical activity. And, you know, we sort of a priori identified some risk, possible risk factors such as high BMI, race, age, education, status, the mother and the child's health, whether or not it was a cesarean delivery, vaginal delivery, whether mother breastfed, and several other variables. But, you know, I'll just kind of talk about the ones that ended up being significant. So just to go into the PRAMS in just a little more detail, there's a stratified sampling by maternal race and child's birth weight, and certain groups are oversampled because of historic low response rates. And so one way to get around, you know, low response rates for certain demographics is to oversample and have quotas. And then statistical weights are applied based on the inverse probability of selection. And our final sample size ended up being 1,803 women that answered a question about physical activity. And then we can use this to make conclusions about the entire population of recent mothers in Oregon. And so the central question and the main outcome variable for the study was whether or not women got sufficient amount of physical activity. And this is the one question that's included on the Oregon PRAMS about asking about physical activity. And so women are asked, in the past month, how many days a week did you get at least 30 minutes of physical activity or exercise? So this is looking specifically at moderate physical activity. And it, you know, it asks them anything from walking, dancing, yard work, sweeping. So to get an idea that many things contribute to physical activity, it isn't just going to the gym, working out really hard. And if women said that they got 5 or more days per week of 30 minutes of physical activity or exercise, this was coded as having sufficient physical activity. And this is per the CDC guidelines, which considers 30 minutes of moderate physical activity 5 days or more per week as sufficient. They have another definition for sufficient physical activity using more strenuous physical activity and exercise, but we figured they decided when they implemented this survey question that postpartum women, it's probably not fair to require them to have, you know, very strenuous physical activity. We'll probably stick with moderate. And it's a pretty good indicator of physical activity. And actually there was work that showed that even moderate physical activity has really positive health benefits. So the other two questions that that were very important for our study was assessing whether or not a woman reported postpartum depression. And so these two questions were used. They're developed by the CDC, and they've been shown to be pretty good instruments in and have pretty good sensitivity and specificity compared to a larger or a better sort of more complete scale for depression, Edinburgh scale. And the two questions were, since your new baby was born, how often have you felt down, depressed, or hopeless? And then since your new baby was born, how often have you had little interest or little pleasure in doing things? And if women answered either, always, or often on either of these two questions, they were categorized as reporting postpartum depression. And so here are some results for the physical activity. And basically, a little over a quarter of the women reported getting sufficient physical activity. So 3/4 of women self-report that they do not. And these are weighted percentages, so they apply to all the women in Oregon. And so how does this compare with sort of what are the existing rates of sufficient physical activity? Well, I compared this to the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, also done in Oregon, also in 2005. So you're It's more apples to apples, although they use also a rigorous definition of sufficient physical activity for the BRFSS. But the numbers aren't going to be that much off to compare these two. So you can see that when you stratify by age, it turns out that recent Oregon mothers get lower levels of physical activity than their counterparts who have not recently given birth. And the difference is about a little over a half for the 18 to 24-year-olds, and it's about a third for 25 and above. So here's some other results. The average age of the mother in our study was about 28 years. Average age of the newborn was about 14.4 weeks when the mother took the survey. And based on the weight, we estimate that our sample covers about 42,733 mothers in Oregon. And again, about 74% reported insufficient physical activity. And in terms of postpartum depression, about 10.5% reported that they suffered from postpartum depression. So now, what do we find in terms of risk factors? What might predict low levels of physical activity? Well, we did some bivariate comparisons. Actually, I did quite a few bivariate comparisons. And these are some that seem like they might be interesting when we did the bivariate comparisons, such as income, BMI, marital status, even the time of year, because I was there from June to September, which is a very beautiful time in Portland. But they all told me that, you know, this doesn't last the whole year. There's a rainy season here. So we just wanted to make sure that there was an effective season. And it looked like there might be, but it turns out that all of these went away in our final model, which is here. So this is sort of the final logistic regression model that I developed. And you can see all the major risk factors are listed there, as well as some confounders that we wanted to control for. And it turns out that postpartum depression does increase the odds of getting insufficient physical activity. The odds ratio is 2.2. Having, if a woman reported having high blood pressure pre-pregnancy, that also seemed to predispose her to having low-level insufficient physical activity. Has an odds ratio of 2.5. And those are 95% confidence intervals. In bold are all the significant odds ratios. Age was also significant, and women that were over, that were 26 or older, also had decreased odds of sufficient physical activity. Race was interesting. So, you know, race is always a variable that you want to control for, as is education. And so we were going to include it in our model as a potential confounder, but it turns out that ethnicity was actually pretty interesting. It turns out Asian and Pacific Islander self-identified women have 3.1 times higher odds of having insufficient physical activity than white women. So white women are the reference for race. And Hispanic women also showed that they had higher odds of getting insufficient physical activity compared to white women. And then in terms of education, it seems like women that have greater than a high school education also had increased odds of getting insufficient physical activity. So that's sort of, you know, in a nutshell what we found in terms of our risk factor analysis. And actually, I just talked to a poster presentation, a presenter, about the Asian Pacific Islander finding. And you know, I've read this too, that in Asian Pacific Islander cultures, you're expected to do much less physical activity after you give birth. You're expected to stay in bed a lot longer. And this possibly could have contributed to it. Or Asian Pacific Islander women just reported getting less physical activity because they thought they weren't supposed to. So, you know, that's an issue. But I think it might be something interesting to pursue. Okay, so here's just a kind of a brief summary of the results. About 74% of women get insufficient postpartum physical activity. 11% of women report postpartum depression. Postpartum depression is a significant risk factor for getting insufficient physical activity. And pregnancy-associated high blood pressure also appears to be a risk factor for insufficient physical activity. Asian Pacific Islander mothers have lowest physical activity levels for all race ethnicities. Older mothers tend to have lower physical activity. And women with higher education is associated, higher education is associated with lower physical activity. In general, physical activity of new mothers is lower than in the general population. So in terms of discussion, I think our results showing the association between postpartum depression and lower physical activity is consistent with current knowledge about postpartum depression. That is, some of the symptoms are reduced quality of life, increased anxiety, loss of interest in life, fatigue, reluctance to breastfeed. The prevalence of postpartum depression is estimated to be around 13%. We found it was around 11%. Peak incidence is about 4 to 6 weeks, but it can last much longer. And So in terms of public health implications, again, depression in the postpartum period can impact the mother as well as the child for many years. And their current treatments and interventions include medication and talk therapy, psychotherapy, and both are very efficacious. However, there's a reluctance of many women to take medication for postpartum depression, especially if they're breastfeeding. They're worried about the health implications for their offspring. And it looks like physical activity has some benefits and that could possibly be used to treat or at least supplement talk therapy for postpartum depression. And as I mentioned already, physical activity has other health benefits in the postpartum period besides increasing or decreasing postpartum depression symptoms. So some of the limitations, there certainly always are limitations. We only assess postpartum physical activity during a brief period. So this is it's essentially a cross-sectional study where women get a survey an average about 14 weeks after they've given birth, and they're asked to document what their physical activity levels were in the past 30 days. So it's really just a snapshot of what happened in those last 30 days. Are they representative of the whole postpartum period? Also, there's subject to response and recall bias. As I mentioned, for Asian Pacific Islanders, it's possible that specific groups may report physical activity. We also don't know why or why not women participated in physical activity. Some of it could have been job-related. Women could have returned to work and had physical activity from that. Others could have been leisure physical activity. We don't know the difference. So we really require some corroborating data. So other years of PRAMS to show a consistent pattern, as well as there's a two-year follow-up survey where women are asked some similar questions 2 years out. So then you can compare what maybe their physical activity levels were postpartum and have they increased back up to what we think that they were for the general population. And this, again, is an epidemiological study. It's an association. It's not causative by any means. So kind of you take the results with a grain of salt, but it does kind of generate some interesting hypotheses. And then here are all my references. All right. Thank you.
Questions.